We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you from WMIE 91.5 FM. Invite your friends and family to listen to this station and allow the Word of God to penetrate their hearts and minds, and watch what a transformation it makes in their life. A week ago, I was teaching in Fiji via the computer, and I'd taken the computer to my house. I was broadcasting from there because it was Labor Day, and I shared with the class a testimony that I'd heard about a lady who had come to a particular church, a large church, and was asking to meet with a pastor, and so he met with her, and she began to describe her situation, and his answer to her request was this: if you will come and if you will sit under the ministry of the Word of God, God is going to transform your circumstances. And the woman agreed. She came, and after about 3 months, she testified that all of the issues that she was battling when she first approached that pastor, that as she had sat under the ministry of the Word, that the Word penetrated the very essence of her being and transformed the circumstances of her life. I can tell you that you cannot overdose on the Word of God. It just reaps benefits. It says that it's quick, it's powerful, it is able to divide or penetrate to the joints and the marrow and divide asunder between soul and spirit. It will penetrate to the deepest recesses of your being. It will affect your spirit, your soul, and your body. And so we're very thankful for the Word of God. If you would like to come and sit under the Word, the messages that I preach, they're different in church than they are here on the radio. But we would love to have you come and join us for worship services this coming Wednesday at 11 a.m. or this coming weekend. We will have our regular service schedule. So we want to say thank you to Jits Concrete today, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any concrete work done or block work, and I believe they also do stucco, and so if you need any of those areas taken care of in your life, we want to encourage you to get out the phone and give them a call. They will tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. Ask for Greg, and they will get you fixed up. I had a meeting last Tuesday, and the people that I was meeting with, when they got ready to leave, they said, "Wow, the sidewalks look really, really good." And so if you need any help in that area, we encourage you to check out Jits Concrete, 536-5804. Let's get into the Word today, and today's message is going to be a little bit different. We're going to talk about Joseph, and I just want you to know, I go where the Word goes. That's what I do. I don't come into a situation and try and conform the Word or, make it to say what I want it to say. In fact, when I ran across this passage of Scripture, it was, how did I miss that all of these years? That's the type of reaction that I had. So I want to take you to Genesis, the 47th chapter. Last week we talked about how Jacob had blessed Pharaoh, and that Pharaoh was looking for competent people to take care of his flocks. And I really want you to know that that's what men are looking for. They are looking for people who are competent, who are skilled, who are able to do their job and to do it with excellence. Now, Joseph is the prime minister of the land, and he's in charge of seeing them through this year, this season of famine that lasted 7 years. So let's look at chapter 47, the book of Genesis, verse number 13. Now, there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed." Then Joseph said, "Give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone." So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, and for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year. When that year had ended, they came to him the next year and said, "We will not hide from my lord that our money is gone. My lord also has our herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate." Then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for every man of the Egyptians sold his field, because the famine was severe upon them, so the land became Pharaoh's. Verse number 21, "And as for the people, he moved them into the cities." And there's a footnote at the bottom of the King James Version, and it says, "And made the people virtual slaves from one end of the border of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate their rations, which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their lands." Then Joseph said to the people, "Indeed, I have bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh, four-fifths shall be your own, as seed for the field and for your food for those of your households and as food for your little ones." So they said, "You have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day that Pharaoh should have one-fifth, except for the land of the priests only, which did not become Pharaoh's. So today, if I was to put a title on this broadcast, I would title this, "The Pathway to Slavery." The Pathway to Slavery. Now let's look at the reality. The reality was that the stockpile of grain that Joseph was dispersing was grain that the people had grown. I'm not talking about the wisdom that Joseph had. I'm Egypt and the whole world was thankful for there being a man that was there for a time of great crisis, and God gave them the wisdom on how to get through. But I want you to see what man ends up doing with the possessions that they take. And this would be a big government model, and that is where they taxed the people, and they said, "You've got to bring in what you've produced, and we're going to create vast storehouses for it, and because we're creating a rainy day fund, or in this case, a lack of rain fund. We're creating a crisis fund, and so we're going to tax you on the things that you've produced." And what happened was that 2 years into the 7 years of famine, the people had run out of all of their supplies. All of their grain was gone, and they began to go to Joseph. And you know, I think that that government can help us in times of crisis, but you have to be careful of the strings that are attached. Because it says here that when there was no bread, that they came to Joseph, and in verse number 14 it says, "And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt for the grain which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So these people had money, but they didn't have grain. When I hear commercials on television and on radio where it's talking about, hey, what you really need for a time of crisis is you need to have gold as a standard, I always scratch my head when I hear that, because when I look in history and I look in the book of Revelation, what I find is that there is a time where grain will be so scarce that people will be trading huge portions of money just to get enough bread to eat for a day or two. Food is the essential ingredient. We, without food and without water, we die. Okay? In the spirit realm, without the word of God, we die. In the spirit realm, without Jesus, we die. Those are the essentials. And so these people had been taxed, and now the government had all of the resources. They owned all the grocery stores, and so they were able to set the prices for the amount of grain that the people needed to purchase. And what it was how much money do you have, and we will give you a certain amount of grain for whatever financial resources that you have. One thing that I have seen in the decades that I've been an adult is that a lot of times things go in a boom and bust cycle. Sometimes there's an oil boom, and sometimes there's an oil bust. Sometimes there can be a retail boom, and then there can be an economic downturn. The stock market can go up, but it can quickly go down as well. And so there's this boom and bust situation, and these people found themselves in need of food. So they turned to Joseph, and they said, "We need food." And he said, "I will give you food. You give me your money." And he brought all of the finances into Pharaoh. Now, I'm not going to go over each and every one of these details, but I do want to spend a little bit of time on verse number 15. It says, "So when the money failed in the land of Egypt," and in the last part of verse number 15, it says, "For the money has failed." I want you to know that money cannot buy you happiness. Money cannot buy you into heaven. Money might look good on a bank statement. Money might make you feel better when you compare paychecks or whatever with those around you. But money's not edible. Money is not going to get you to heaven. In fact, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." It doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And I want you to know that there is going to come a day when your money fails. It reminds me of the old St. Peter joke at the pearly gates, and you know that there's a guy, and he was very, very rich here on earth, and he decided that he wanted to take his gold into heaven, and so he shows up at the pearly gates and says, you know, will God just let me bring in this one little bag of gold? And Peter says, you brought in pavement, because the streets of heaven are paved with translucent gold. It's a higher quality of gold than anything. It would be like you and I carrying around a bag of asphalt. Monetary wealth here on earth has no credibility. It has no social value in heaven. If you are basing your self-worth on your financial statement, there is coming a day where your finances will fail. What are you going to do in the day that which you trust in fails? That's why we need to put our trust in Jesus Christ, because Jesus never fails. And if you want to hear that put to song, just type in a Google search for "Jesus Never Fails" and allow that to be a blessing to your spirit. In verse number 16, they come back the next year, and this is a continuation of verse number 16. "Then Joseph said, 'Give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone.' So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange," listen to this, "for their horses, the flocks, the cattle, and for the donkeys. Now, I want you to see what they are trading away for their groceries to survive on the next year. They are trading away the tools that are necessary for a successful harvest. They have traded away their horses, so now they don't have transportation. They have traded away their cattle, so they no longer have meat. They have traded away their flocks, so now there's going to be nothing that they can shear and they can create the garments that they are able to wear. And they trade away their donkeys. What they traded away with the donkeys was they traded away the tools that was necessary in order to have a harvest of land. And so they ended up with grain, but they reduced their future capacity of fruitfulness just to survive through a difficult season. And I want to remind you again, these were resources that were the people's, and Joseph is basically selling back to them the very thing that once belonged to them. I want you to know that when the government starts talking about Social Security cuts and all of that sort of stuff, that's not actually their resources. Those are resources that you and your employer have put into the federal treasury through all of your working years or through your spouse's working years. They should not be able to dictate the terms of that which you have contributed. And anyway, so I'm going to get in all sorts of trouble here probably with this, but I want to talk to you because we're talking about the pathway to slavery. The pathway to slavery is when you have a need so great in your life that you are willing to part with your finances and you're willing to part with all of your tools just for the privilege of surviving. Verse number 18, the next year came, and they came to him and says, "We will not hide from our Lord that our money is gone, and my Lord also has our herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate." And so the third year, the first year, their money went. The second year, all of their livestock, their wool-producing animals, their meat supply, and their beasts of burden, all of those got sold the second year. So now they're 4 years in, and they're coming back, and they're saying, "We need you to take care of us." The fifth year, the third year after they've extinguished all of their resources, and now they're coming to Joseph and to Pharaoh and to the government for help, it says, "Look, we don't have anything. All we have is our land and our bodies." And they said, "We will be your servants. We will be your servants if you just give us bread to eat." And so what happened during this crisis was the household of Pharaoh became more and more influential, more and more powerful, more and more wealthy. And get this, I'm going to share the full manifestation of this reality on tomorrow's broadcast. But for today, I want you to see that as Pharaoh increased, the people decreased, and they literally became servants and slaves to Pharaoh for a handful of bread. Can I ask you a thought-provoking question today? What would you sell yourself for? Because that's what these people did. They sold themselves. You know, it's one thing for Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. It's a completely other matter when you are selling yourself just because you don't have anything to eat. There may be people who are listening and you are on very difficult times. You're going through very difficult seasons, and You may find yourself out on the street, and the devil would try and convince you. There are young ladies in this community that the devil has convinced them that the only way that they can survive is if they sell their services, so that when they're dancing, that people will give them the resources that they need. And then there's even people one step further, and they're willing to sell themselves physically just for whatever it is that they need to survive. I heard an evangelist one time, he ministers at a lot of Promise Keepers events, and he says, you know what I am? I'm got the value of a $20 bill, because that is how much a person gave my mother when she was on difficult times, and I ended up being the byproduct of that relationship, a $20 bill. Folks, I want you to know you are worth far more than a $20 bill. You are worth more than grain. I want you to know that there is another solution, and that is you and I do not have to sell ourselves. In fact, if we're a Christian, we don't have the authority to sell ourselves, because we have already been redeemed, bought, and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. Now, in verse number 21, or verse 20, it says, then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For every man of the Egyptians sold his field, because the famine was severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's, and the people, he moved them into cities. And the NIV says something interesting, and it says he reduced the people to servitude. He made them slaves. And the Amplified adds another little nugget of information, and it says this, at their request. At their request. I want you to know that the devil will be more than glad to fulfill your request to make you a slave. Jesus wants to make you a child. He wants to make you a child of the King. To those who believe on him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Today, I want to tell you, the pathway to slavery is finding yourself in such a helpless situation that you have to turn to men in order to get you through that difficult season. But here's the reality. Every time men help you, there are strings that are attached. There was a period in my life here about, probably 10 or 11, or no, yeah, 10 or 11 years ago, and the government kept saying, we're going to try and help. And I came up with a saying, it's like, every time they tell me that they are going to help me, I start reaching for my wallet to find out how much it's going to cost me. And I want you to know, whenever people offer to help, there are things that people have told me, said, oh, you need to be doing this as a church, and you need to be asking the government for this. And I said, look, if there's anything that I have learned from church history, is that when the government starts doling out their finances, there are strings that are attached to that. And if you and I get addicted to man's provision instead of God's provision, sooner or later, just like when I'm out there fishing, which is not very often, but if I pull and set the hook, then all of a sudden I am no longer able to go where I want to go and do what I want to do anymore. And I, you know what I have found? As pastor of Merit Assembly of God, we have found that the best way to fund the ministry of the Kingdom of God is exactly what the Word of God says, and that is with the tithes and offerings of God's people. Not for any other reason than to honor him with that which he has deemed holy. The truth of the matter is, Jesus came to set the captives free. If you have sold yourself for fame, or sold yourself for a position, or whatever situation, maybe a need arose in your life so great that you felt like that you had no other option, today Jesus is in the redemption business. He does not want you to be a slave, and he certainly doesn't want you to request to be made a slave. He wants to set you free so that you can be the man of God, the woman of God that he created you to be. Today, let the shackles fall off. Today, lift your eyes to the Heavenly Father. He's the one. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Now, with Him, it is not about unknown strings that He's going to tell you about later. With the Heavenly Father, His provision is tied in with covenant relationship. Those He is in covenant with. And today, I want you to know, God loves you. God loves you. He wants to set you free from your sin. He wants to set you free from all of your crisis. He wants to walk with you during that crisis. But more than any of the blessings that man talks about, He wants you to walk in covenant with Him. When we celebrate communion, we are reminded that it is the new covenant that is available in Jesus Christ. So once Joseph had purchased all of the money, all of the equipment necessary for harvest, future productivity was going to go down. And finally, after he had procured all of the land and the people for Egypt, it says this, "And as for the people," in verse number 21, "he moved them into the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end." What happened was when Pharaoh owned things, then he got to dictate the terms. And he said, "You're not going to live where you've always lived. You're going to move into the cities." And they had no option. Whatever he told them to do, that's what they had to do. You know what I'd rather live? I would rather live for what God has called me to do. And in the book of Acts, when Paul was ministering on Mars Hill, he said that God is the one who's determined the times and the places that we are to live. I want to have the freedom and the good sense to walk in obedience to the will of God, what He has determined for me. God has called us to be the people of influence. Today, I encourage you that if He has set you free from the entanglements of this world, don't get tangled up all over again. Don't fall for the trap all over again. Learn the lesson and walk in the liberty for which Christ has set you free. Father, I just pray for people right now. I know that there are hurting people and needy people all across this world, but Lord, there are also right here in Brevard County. I know that the devil is here to steal, to kill, and destroy, but God, You have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You came to set the captives free. Today, I pray that You would break every shackle, every chain, every trap that the enemy has, that he is using to keep people in bondage. Lord, set them free. Set all of us free to live for Your glory and praise. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise You with adequate words, but You leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve.